Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Hi there, thank you for joining us for the Racing Post Monday Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington, and joining me to look back on a superb weekend of racing and look ahead to more great action this weekend, notably at Cheltenham, and Nicky Watts and Dave Orton from the Racing Post, and Paddy Power's Paul Binfield, a Monday regular. We will be paying tribute to the mighty Altior, looking at how the Beecher Chase shook up the Grand National picture, all the other implications from what we saw last weekend vis-a-vis Cheltenham and other big races in between. Hopefully the lads will have a winner or two for you to stick in your Racing Post horse tracker, and indeed for later on this weekend. We've got, like I said, we've got Cheltenham Friday and Saturday, and there are already plenty of prices up, so we will be pinpointing the early value, but we will start, obviously, the only place to start, really, the Tingle Creek on Saturday. It promised much and delivered even more. It was an absolutely superb race. Altior just showed that he is the king of jumps racing at the moment with a magnificent performance. He crossed the final fence virtually together with Underso, but just power clear Watsy. It was an absolutely brilliant display, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was extraordinary. I loved, there was a still image that went up on Twitter yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, when he kind of made a mistake at the second. He jumped so high and kind of came down, landed on the fence, and it looked like he'd been superimposed badly into the picture because he was just towering over the other horses. The height he gave it was extraordinary. And yeah, it was just a fantastic display, and he does make things look hard work at times, but you just know that if he is anywhere thereabouts at the last, that when he hits a hill, and when he has to, he's just extraordinary, and he powered clear of Underso, who put in a superb performance himself and gave it his absolute all. And, you know, I know there's cries for him to go up in Trip and try King George's and that kind of stuff, but when he's as good as he is over 2 miles, I can understand the logic with just keeping him where he is.
Dave, we've been treated to so many great two-mile chases at the top level. I mean, it's a division that just keeps throwing up these superstars, doesn't it? Where's Altior in the, you know, if we're going back to the kind of Viking flagship kind of day? So last 25 years...
He's got to be out there, isn't he? I think on figures... In March, we gave him an RPR of 183. On Saturday, 179. That's first time up on heavy ground. He loves Sandown, doesn't he? Obviously, he's jumping. You know, it comes properly up there. He's brilliant, isn't he? He's a million to go up in Trip now, I think. He won't be doing it. What's going to beat him, basically, in the division? Maybe Footpad might be the only one. And after that, you know, inauspicious comeback, there's nothing out there, basically. So they will stick to this division. And what price is he? You know, in March.
Odds Let's on find Monday. Out. Paul Binfield.
Good afternoon. I saw you mentioning a recent article about walking form books. You haven't got to worry about that with me. Anyway, Altior is an 8-13 shot for the champion chase. He was 11-8 before the race. And then we go Footpad, who Dave just mentioned, 5, 10 min, 20 bar. So he's right. Yeah. According to the bookies, there's not too many horses that can fry it up to Altior if he sticks to the two-mile division.
Which I guess he's going to, what's it? I mean, you know what it's like. Whenever you get a good horse, whether it's Frankel or Winks on the flat or, you know, Masterminded, Sprinter Sacre, etc., you want them to just go on and complete world domination, don't you? But as you look at the betting there, I mean, did you see anything from Min yesterday that's going to worry out here?
No, it's funny. The one I really thought might be able to shake him up slightly, and I expected him to win at Cork yesterday, it was great field, and then he goes and falls at the second. So it's kind of back to the drawing board with him. There's nothing to challenge him. Underso gave it his best, couldn't do it. Min tried last season at Cheltenham, couldn't do it. So I don't really think there is anything. I think the time to maybe Nicky might step him up in Trip is that 2.5 mile race at Aintree, which might be a logical progression.
How old is he now? Not Nicky. It's Nicky's birthday.
Seven
today.
Going eight, isn't he?
68.
Seven going
He's
eight?
Seven going eight. Okay, so...
Yeah.
So
eight if going you nine, sorry.
Eight going nine. Okay, so if you take it that this year they just carry on dominating at 2 miles, Dave, and then, as Watsy suggested, go for the 2.5 at Aintree, might they then think, as a nine-year-old, he might go for champion for King George 2019?
They're desperately tempted to do it, I think, aren't they?
But are they, though?
I think they are. From what I know, I mean, last year, in that champion chase, certainly, he looked like he wanted a trip. And with the ground so slow, on Saturday. Everything played into his hands, I think. Nick summed it up well. Once he sees that hill, he just goes there. Min can't beat him. We know that. I think Min will go Ryanair, Bruce.
Yeah.
After Sunday.
Well,
I'm pretty sure they will.
Yeah.
I think Footpad, all being well, if he comes back, he's the one that they will try and have a crack at.
Watson, does the fact that might I wouldn't say have gone, but obviously ran such a worrying race at Haydock, potentially mean that they do have the option, if they wanted to step up and take him on, and take Altior up in trip? Does that affect their thinking? And the other thing is, Tom Siegel has often said that he just thinks Altior is a three-mile chaser, and that the only reason he's able to dominate at 2 miles is simply that, you know, he just about gets going late enough to be able to put his superior quality to the test. So, you know, are we wasting a potential arcle here by running him over an insufficient trip?
Possibly, but I think horses can be deceptive sometimes. I do take Tom's point on board, but sometimes because he makes it look hard work doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, he is a three-miler in waiting. And I suppose the reason they're scared is because if they did up him in trip and he didn't happen to get it, it might bottom him for the rest of the season. So I think that's why they're erring on the side of caution. But, you know, you look again, Nicky's got a conveyor belt of horses coming through the system. And if Santini is as good as we believe he is, then this time next year he could well be his King George horse. And so he gets shelved again. So it's hard to know. There's a lot needs to happen for him to get to the King George. But, you know, as for this year, I know it's another argument, but Mike Bite, I'd still see him as favourite in the books.
He's favourite, should he be, though? What's the latest King George betting binners?
Yeah, well, Nick's quite right. Bruce, Mike Bite, 3-1 favourite. Then we go 5-1 Politolog, who was so good at Ascot recently. 11-2 Waiting Patiently. 6 Thistle Crack. 13-2 Bristol Demay. And Altior is still in the entries, as you well know, Bruce. He's a 16-1 chance.
But okay, so if Nicky Henderson decides today that he's going to go for it with Altior in the King George, what price do you make him now, Binners? What do you slash him to?
What would you slash him to? You'd have to be close to Mike Bite, wouldn't you, Bruce?
He should be shorter than Mike Bite, wouldn't he? Because you're just betting on whether he gets 3 miles, aren't you?
That's what I said. You'd have to be close to Mike.
Which he would do around there.
Okay, what is he? 2-1, 6-4?
I'd say 6-4, yeah.
Interesting. Dave, a word on the beaten horse. He's notably, obviously, the magnificent Underso, or underrated, as I often call him. You know, at some point, we are going to have to start recognising this horse as a great, great animal, because, it, you know, if Altior hadn't run or had just slipped up on the bend or something, Underso's absolutely, you know, taking the others to the cleaners.
He won it in 2006, didn't he? And obviously, he had his ground. I thought coming to the last, he had a chance. It was a fantastic run. I think with the beaten horses, St. Calvados, will he go up in trip? Now he's settling a little bit better, potentially, because, you know, he can't win a champion chase on this evidence. Sir Royal, not the ground of him, I don't think. And he jumped left a little bit, you know, on Saturday. I put a line through that. But is he good enough? He's got about a stone and a half to find, I think.
Word on Charbel, Nick. Lovely to see him win at Huntingdon yesterday. What's the likely progression for him from here, do you think, this season? Ryanair?
Great performance. I mean, he really put God's Own to the sword, and God's Own came there in great form, so he really is back to his best, which is good to see. I was just reading, actually, Julian Muscat's piece. He was at Huntingdon yesterday, and he spoke to Kim Bailey. Kim said he's been to the Cheltenham Festival twice, fallen twice. It's set him back a little bit as well. It's taken him a long time to get back to where he is now. So I wouldn't be surprised if they swerved Cheltenham completely and went straight to Aintree, because he said he wants a flat track.
Yeah. I tell you what, I still wish, A, because I was on him at a massive price, and B, because it was so interesting. If Charbel hadn't fallen in the arcle, I think he would have taken a lot of
I covered that back. Race yesterday for the Post, and Kitty Trice was on course for us. And she got hold of me and said, you're going to have to rewrite, because he's probably not going to go for the Ryanair. I said he was a serious player in that.
Mm.
If it was any other festival, he probably would swerve it, but I think they'll be very tempted if he keeps going. Front running for him yesterday was the key to him. He jumped so much better.
Great horse. Really, really good animal. Okay, let's turn our attention to the Grand National, because obviously a lot of the Aintree likely lads were doing their thing over the National course in the Beecher on Saturday. It was a really, really interesting race, really impressive winner. And Binners, what has that race done in terms of shaking up the national market?
Well, it hasn't shaken it up that much, Bruce. The winner, Walk in the Mill for Robert Wolford, great to see a small trainer like that winning. We put him in at 33-1 first show. But, I mean, that might sound like a big price, but we're still 20-1 favourite Vintage Cloud. So it has put him in the mix. He's up there amongst them. And then in the 25-1 division, you've got the likes of Definitely Red, Rathbinden, Bellshill, Annabelle Fly, Pleasant Company, et al.
Watsy, do you think we saw a potential national winner on duty at Aintree on Saturday?
We might well have done. It might not necessarily been the winner either, because there was quite a few performances in behind which really interested me. Noble Endeavour was one, who was having his first race for an awful long time. That was definite sighter from Gordon Elliott there, obviously trying to win, but if not, then seeing him make sure that he takes to the fences. He certainly did that, so he is interesting for the future. Mr. Proach took to it as well. He was just far too free and ran too keen and never got home. But if he settles better, you know, next April, he's got a good chance. Now, I know I put Bally Optic up in these quarters last week, and he got off to a sluggish start, but he jumped the first 10 fences superbly and was just working into the race. And he had a typical entry four where he just clipped the top of one and came down too steeply, and he couldn't get the undercarriage out. So I wouldn't give up on him at all if I was Connections. I wouldn't be disappointed that he had that fall. It might have taught him something. And if he gets there in April, again, he would be very interesting. So loads of little things going on behind the scenes in that race. Wouldn't be surprised at all if it contained the winner, although not necessarily the one who won at the weekend.
Well, the one who won at the weekend certainly didn't do anything to harm his claims for national win.
Yeah,
he,
and he'll get in the race now. It's just whether he needs soft ground to shine, I think. He'd want a deluge in April, I'm pretty certain of that. Again,
well,
I covered that.
I mean, they'll err on the side of watering too much rather than
that's
too
a good
little,
point.
Regardless of what.
Yeah, and if it rains, then it's going to be a bog. The runner-up to Leon Rouge, isn't it? He ran an absolute blinder again for me. He came from an absolute mile back, and he's waited to win. Whether they go fresh there, we'll see, but I'd take him out of the race.
Right, Grand National winner right now, £3.5 bet, Watsy.
God, I think Bally Optic is still 33s after the weekend. I'd stick with him.
Rathbinden for me, of Mullins, the four-mile winner. Haven't seen the best of him yet, and he's aiming at it.
And Binners.
Pleasant Company, Bruce.
Yeah? Elaborate on that, Paul. Why?
I can't really tell you at the moment, Bruce.
You can't. It's a secret, is it?
Well, it's not. I hadn't really picked one out, and so I just jumped in at Pleasant Company.
God, second last year, science here, isn't it? Right? He's not wrong when he said he's not a talking form. But anything else Cheltenham related catch your eye over the weekend, Watsy?
Well, the novice chase was very interesting, obviously, because Lawler got beaten and would have disappointed.
Oh yeah, let's talk about the Arkle.
Yeah, he would have disappointed a lot of people, but I don't think they should be disappointed, because I think he probably is better going left-handed. I think he wants a different kind of ground. And I don't think the experience would be lost on him at all. So I think it was a good idea to run. And, you know, you can't underestimate the challenge that Kayleigh Woollacott faces this season with Lauder, because she's got a really, really high-profile horse. And it's easy for the Hendersons of this world to campaign these horses and know the right races to run in. But it's a new experience for her. And I think it was to her credit that she took her chances and ran at the weekend. And I think come spring, wouldn't be surprised if Lawler reversed that form again with Dynamite Dollars.
Okay, have you got a thought on the Arkle at the moment, Dave? I mean, Kalashnikov obviously ran at Plumpton last week.
He's loving life now, isn't he, all of a sudden? Because he's the solid one. He was second last year in the Supreme. Mengli Khan looked all right. He was a bit scratchy for my money. That Getter Bird that won yesterday, that was a serious performance. And he's a serious horse in the making, this. It's just whether he will go left-handed. I got sucked in the Supreme, and he hung like a gate all the way, I think. So that's a problem. Without Henderson and Mullins having a top-notcher, it's a wide-open race, isn't it? And I don't think we've seen the full extent of the market yet.
Let's find out how wide-open. Binners, what's Paddy Power's latest betting on the Racing Post Arkle?
We've got Kalashnikov in there at the front, Bruce 4-1. Then Mengli Khan at 11-2, Layla at 8. Get a Bird halved in price yesterday for the race, 10 from 20. Dynamite Dollars on 12, along with Defige's Soil, who won so well at Exeter last week. My worry about Dynamite Dollars is, does he need a bit of soft ground?
Okay. Who would you be backing at this juncture, do you think, Binners?
I'd go for Defige's Soil, actually. Bruce, that was a
some
fine
race
contest.
That, wasn't it? I mean, it was a really, really great field. It's so nice to get these novice chases, isn't it, where they're actually meaningful rather than just little educational lessons for the fives-on favourite.
Absolutely. I mean, and the runner-up put in an astonishing performance top of the game, the way he lost ground at the beginning, the Coral Cup runner-up. And Black Op only got done for second. I'm sure we'll see an improved horse next time. So that race at Exeter was superb, and Defige's Soil certainly put in a very, very impressive performance.
Watsy, what was your take out from that race?
Well, it was a very brave bit of placing from Philip Hobbs to even run Defy to sign that race, because he'd been disappointing last season. He disappointed on that chase debut at Cheltenham behind Lawler, and so you'd think he'd find him an easy one somewhere to get his confidence back, but he threw him straight into the deep end again, and he's come up trumps, and he won really, really nicely. So he's major player now and back on the scene. Slightly disappointed with Black Op. I thought he could have done a bit better, but yeah, the one that the swerved at the start and must have lost about 10 or 15 lengths was top of the game. So to still nearly win was amazing. And when he gets up to 3 miles and he doesn't swerve at the start, I don't think it was a quirk. I think it was just the tapes going up put him off. And he's a big RSA player.
Very interesting. And obviously, Dave, we've all got a list of horses that we want to back from the Hobbs Yard this year that suffered from that kind of lost season. Yeah. Defy was on a lot of people's, but then having run so innocuously against Layla the previous time, I suppose a lot of us thought, well, perhaps he's just not as good as we thought.
My worry about him for the Arkle. He loves Cheltenham so much, or he did over hurdles. Why did he jump so badly first time out there? So maybe those fences, I don't know. I'd worry about that slightly, I think.
And I tell you, the Arkle's boiling up though, isn't it? It's going to be some race,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's wide open, which is what we want. We used to do small fields with a threes on shot, albeit a very classy horse. We want to see a proper betting race.
Jones, since we sponsored that, we've only ever had phenomenal winners with the except. What was that pipe thing in the Brookhouse colours?
Western Warhorse. Yeah, that's right. Never won a Kendal.
You take him off, and the roll of honour is absolutely astonishing. Yeah. Horse Tracker gives a horse each that the listeners and viewers should put in their Horse Tracker, which will hopefully return a bit of a profit in the coming weeks and months. Nick Watts.
There's a horse who won at Exeter on Friday, Paul Nicholls. It's called Getaway Trump, one of his less heralded inmates, you would say, but won very nicely. That's two in a row for him, and I think he's a very progressive horse.
Okay, Dave?
Shattered Love. She wasn't at her best in the John Durkin, but she wants 3 miles now, I think, on that performance. She's won for the Lexus, and she's overpriced.
And Binners?
Chica Buena, Bruce. Brendan, my good friend, the Curracundra, Brendan Duke, educated her, and he won with her, a maiden hurdle with her at Ballinrobe. He's come over to these shores. Keith Dale Gleish has done brilliantly with her. He's won 3 on the bounce with her now, including a listed race at Aintree on Saturday. And I'm sure there's many more good contests in her. And we put her in the Triumph betting at 25-1.
Well, I must say, Brendan Duke Jr. was on the podcast on Friday and was very, very bullish about Chica Buena. So that helped salvage my betting day. Good old Brendan. That was excellent. Right, we'll look ahead to the weekend next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back. Let's turn our attention to this weekend, and more specifically the meeting at Cheltenham on Saturday, where the highlight in terms of competitiveness is the 155. It's the Caspian Caviar Gold Cup. And while we don't know the final field, it's beginning to take shape, Binners. So give us the latest betting from Paddy Power.
Yeah, Bruce, I think we may know the final field now, because the betting on Paddy Power's website has just gone a little bit funny. But anyway, we make Rather Be the 4-1 favourite, 11-2 Baron Alco, 7-1 Frodon, 8 War Sound, 10 Guitar Pete, last year's winner, along with Mr. Medic, Catamaran Dusoy, and it's 12-1 the rest.
And Binners, we'll stick with you. Who do you think is going to win this and why?
Well, I'm going to stick with last year's winner, Guitar Pete, Bruce. He did it well then. He's been running really well this season for Nicky Richards. I think he was second in a nice race at Weatherby on his penultimate start. And then last time he was third in the old Paddy Power Gold Cup at the November meeting at Cheltenham. That was a good effort. And he's running well. He's only rated £3 more than when he won the race last year. And I think he'll give people a smashing run at 10-1.
Beautiful. Okay, well, don't forget, it might be worth waiting for the day when the bookmakers all fall over themselves or for extra places, not least Paddy Power. But if you want the lad's advice, we'll get Watsy's tip next.
Yeah, I think Rather B was travelling quite well when he was brought down last time in the Bet Victor. So, I'd give him another chance. But be interesting tactics in this race for a lot of the jockeys, because Baron Alco and Froden, fantastic jumpers, and they go off the front. So, and they're pretty much guaranteed to run their race. So you've got to keep tabs on them. You've got to not let them get too far away and get into their rhythm and get away, because they could easily do likewise and finish 1-2 again. They're really, really solid, hard to beat genuine front runners. And, you know, that it showed what an advantage it was in the Bet Victor. So, you know, Jeremiah McGrath, if he's on Rather Be, you know, keep tabs on them and don't let them get away.
You're going to need to jump as well, aren't you, Watson? Because that was very attritional, wasn't it, the Bet Victor?
Yeah, there was hardly any finishes, was there?
So, only six got over. So, who do you fancy?
It would be Rather Be. I think he was going well last time out when he was brought down. He loves these big handicaps. He thrives in them. So hopefully if he gets a bit of luck on his side this time, he can pull through.
And Dave, who's your
selection? I'll nod him as well, Bruce. I think he was absolutely cantering. A clear
There's
round.
So many going well, though, wasn't there?
I mean, there were.
I should imagine the betting shops were absolutely full of hard luck stories there, because any horse that didn't, you know, that fell before they got to the fence at the top of the hill, we're all flying, weren't
they? Yeah,
they
were. I think the weather's worth a mention. It looks dry up until Saturday.
And then rain.
And then there could be rain.
And we've seen it before. We'll take what we get.
Yeah, exactly. But I think if it's a sound enough surface and a clear round, he's going to be extremely hard to beat. War Sound of Hobbs's. It was good to see him finally produce at Aintree last time. He's still well handicapped, I think.
God, he absolutely strolled into the race.
He's a good horse.
He looked like he joined in with the circuit.
I think that form's all right as well, isn't it? And Baron Alco, he's gone up, what, £6, is it? If he gets an uncontested lead again, you could see him when he gets that Charbel Chepstow form that's tasty now, doesn't it?
Okay, elsewhere on Saturday, we've got, we don't know the final fields yet, obviously, but we've got the Unibet International Hurdle, the Grade 2. That should have some clues as to how the big 2 mile hurdles are going to develop. We've got Juvenile Hurdle at Doncaster and Decent Novice Chase at Doncaster. Without being specific, because like I say, the fields are probably a little bit too wide open at this point to be too bullish, any horses that you think we should keep a close eye on this weekend, this Saturday, Nick?
It's difficult, like you said, because I think the International Hurdle's been reopened. My 10-year-old horse has just been retired, so obviously he's not going to be running in it. And Mellon came over for the race last year, so it'll be interesting to see if Willie Mullins enters anything for it, and if Mellon came over, he would be interesting. I'd like to see We Have a Dream go for it. I don't think we've seen the best of him yet this season. And it's a typical thing, you know, you come from Juvenile Hurdles and it's difficult to, difficult second season. But I'd just send him for another shot at a decent trial and see how he gets on, just blast off from the front. I think there's more to come from him.
Okay, anything for Saturday, Dave, that you want people to put on their radar?
Well, if the cap fits, aim there potentially. Harry Fries. I know that they're talking about to the Christmas Hurdle with him, but he's definitely a horse that we've not heard the best of yet, 100%. If he goes there, I'd expect him to probably go off favourite. So We Have a Dream, I don't really know what to do with him at the moment. Do they want, you know, a little bit further? I'm not 100% sure what to do with him. And is he a Cheltenham horse? I'm not sure. So it would be interesting to see him, but I've got a little bit lukewarm on him.
It's a slightly difficult situation with the 2 mile hurlers, isn't it? Because unless you're called Bouvardet, there's not really a lot of kind of significance to any of these performances, is there? How dominant is Bouver at the head of the champion hurdle market right now, Binners?
Yeah, Bouvardet, very, very, really heads the market, Bruce. 8-11 favourite, and then it's 5-1 bar with the likes of Lorena, Sam Crow, who got put in his place by last year's winner easily last time. Mellon at 7-1 as well, and then it's 16-1 Super Sunday, and Somerville Boy, who I'm hoping lines up in the International Hurdle.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some redemption ahead of him, though, hasn't he, if he does, Binners? Because, I mean, you know, he was absolutely trounced, wasn't he, up at Newcastle? I mean, I backed him the day after the Supreme for the Champion Hurdle because I thought people had underestimated just how bad those mistakes were that he made at the last two flights at Cheltenham. And I thought it was a phenomenal performance. But, I mean, that was worrying stuff, wasn't it, at Newcastle?
It was worrying, Bruce. Yeah, very, very disappointing in the fighting fifth. Finished quite a way behind the principals. But let's try the maxim, always give a horse another chance. It was first time out. I think Tom George is probably going to have to go for this race because the obvious target for him would be the Christmas Hurdle at Kempton. But I believe Mr. George doesn't believe that's really his track. And let's just hope he bounces back because, like you say, when he ran in the Champion Hurdle, it was an amazing performance. The Supreme.
The Supreme, yeah. He looked brilliant, didn't he?
He looked brilliant. To come back from the incidents you just described was an amazing performance. And he beat a good horse in Kalashnikov there and at Sandown before that.
Watson, are we into the realms of starting to think about Cheltenham multiples now with Altior and Bouver and any other shorties? Or do you still think there might be some life in the Champion Hurdle? Like, I guess until we see what Lorena's got in her locker in terms of, you know, all age and all sex company, we can't really say that she's not the part because it was so impressive last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, you'd say the International Hurdle might be the ideal race to start her off in. It's going to be a small field. It might not be that well contested. So if, you know, if Woody's at home thinking about it now, it might be the kind of race to pitch her in, and at least you've got some kind of idea then when she's up to it. But yeah, you're right. I mean, you've got, if you,
it's into only Monday, far too early for Willie to be thinking about it.
But if you're into lucky 15s, like you said, I mean, Altior and Boover would be two solid picks already, wouldn't they? And, you know, a lot of people would probably be putting Santini in their list as well. He's 3-1 for the RSA. So you only need one other, probably something in the mares. Apples J, something like that, and you've got a four-time already.
Apples in the mares? She'd go for that, won't she?
You think that she will go for that. She should go for the Stayers Hurdle, in my opinion, but I think she probably will go for the mares, yeah.
So that's not a bad little solid four ball, that,
absolutely,
is it?
Yeah.
Any other that you like at the moment in terms of solid favs for Cheltenham, Dave?
Do you know what? Thomas Campbell was beaten yesterday by Bags Groove, who looks like a proper horse in that novice chase. I think they've got a plan for him, and I think the Ultima handicap is definitely what he wants. He's been plodding around on quicker ground, you know, over these quick tracks. His handicap rating will stay about the same, and he absolutely loves Cheltenham, so he'd be one for the Ultima.
Okay, between now and Saturday, there's still some great action, not least a really, really strong card at Cheltenham on Friday, so we'll look at those races next.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Monday Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, Nick Watts, Dave Orton and Paddy Powers, Paul Binfield. And we're going to try and find a winner or two for you to boost your betting bank for the weekend. So there's all sorts of decent stuff taking place around Britain and Ireland between now and Saturday. But I guess the main focus of attention will be Cheltenham on Friday. Binners, have you got some prices for any of the Cheltenham Friday races? If so, what's the strongest race?
Well, I think we'll have to go for the cross-country race, shall we, Bruce? Josie's Orders head the market at 15-8. Then we go back to the Mather 11-4. 7-2, Tiger Roll, the Grand National Hero. 5-1, Amazing Comedy. 6, My Hometown and Full Cry. And it's 10-1 bar.
Blimey, if that's the strongest race, I'm not going Cheltenham on Friday, I promise you that. But, I mean, cross-country racing, more and more people now are getting over their stuffiness, aren't they? What do you think, Watts? Is there any value in that list?
I think there's some better races than that on Friday. There's a good novice chase there, 3 miles. Lil Rockefeller was at the top of my list for that.
Hang on a sec. Let's just finish off the cross-country, because Dave might have one if you don't.
Yeah, I think that Josie's Orders is a good thing again. He still gets £12 off Tiger Roll, who is all about March. I don't think that they'll want
to. If he is all about March, why is he having his second cross country?
It's an interesting thing, isn't
preamble?
It? Yeah, I mean, I was there at the open meeting, and the amount of people that flocked to have a look at the national winner was absolutely fantastic. Mm. And he just ran for me like he's prepping up for March, I think. And given away is a handicap, of course, again on Friday. And Josie's Order, since they put those blinkers on, he looked vulnerable and he pulled away again. 3-1 for me getting £12, I think, is a bet, definitely. And people love these races because the right horses tend to win them. That's why.
Well, that's when they find their way from A to B, okay? I mean, we are due a fiasco. It's been at least 7 cross-country chases since we had something go the wrong way or end up in the crowd or whatever.
Did you see the first entry on Saturday?
Yes, that was absolute madness.
And of course,
it?
Who was covering that? Muggins here. So that was supposed to be a nice, straightforward maiden hurdle.
No,
and that was an hour's writing.
That was a tricky one, that certainly was. Now then, Binners, Watts, he's got the hots for this novice chase. So have you got any betting on Lil Rockefeller et al?
No, we don't have the novices chase at the moment. We have all of the handicaps on Friday, Bruce, I'm afraid.
Right, come on then, lads. What have you got? Give us a winner for Cheltenham on Friday. What's it?
Well, the one I mentioned, Lil Rockefeller, he hasn't pleased everybody since he's gone over fences, but to my eyes, he's not really done a lot wrong. And Exeter last time out was the best evidence yet that he's really got the hang of this, because he jumped really, really nicely. And, you know, he's probably still a big price for the RSA chase in March. And I know Santini is probably the sexy one in that, but Lil Rockefeller is just the kind of horse that's perfect for the RSA, because he's so tough. He stays further than that. And, you know, you kind of dismiss him at your peril for the festival, and I think he'll win again on Friday.
I'd love him to win that, or run really well in it, because the connection's a proper sportsman, and I think it'd be absolutely great. Dave, anything Cheltenham Friday?
Jamming Masters in the big handicap, Warren Greatrix, that Count Mirabal form at at Carlisle looks good now. Lack of experience, a slight worry. But Theatre Territory at 5-1. She is vulnerable, I think, in handicap company. As lovely a, you know, a mare as she is, Rock the Caswell's gone right up in the weights. So Jamming Masters in the big one.
Bin, as you've got all the prices at your fingertips, which of them are shining off the screen and saying, back me?
Well, Jamming Masters is now, Bruce, after that endorsement from the very shrewd Dave Orton, 7-1.
There's a lag between us saying this and the listeners being able to access the price. You can't just sit here and shorten them because Dave's tipped and give the punters a chance.
No, I haven't backed it yet either.
It was 7-1 before he said, and it's still 7-1, okay. Bruce.
All right.
If I'm going to go back to the cross country because I didn't give a selection in that race. I'm going to go Tiger Roll. We've seen money for that one already. 7-2 from 5. He's obviously really very good in these cross-country races, and the money indicates we're going to get a very strong performance from him on Friday.
Interesting. Before we wrap up, lads, anything else between now and Friday? What's he grab you?
Yeah, you talks to tomorrow. There's a horse called Huntsman's Son running over fences. We do a trainer column in the RFO with Alex Hales, his trainer, and he's his kind of stable star. Was second to Kalashnikov at Warwick on his chasing debut. He'll take a lot of beating at Uttoxeter tomorrow.
And Dave?
At Warwick on Thursday in a mare's listed chase, look no further than Jester Jet for Tom Lacey. She ran a blinder on a chasing debut and she's well up to this.
And Binners, what have you got for us?
I'm going to go for Lil Rockefeller in that 3-mile novice chase, Bruce, at 12:45. I'd love to see Mac McNeil's The World then run a big race. I think that one's going to need the ground a bit faster, although Dave, the weather forecaster, was quite optimistic. But Lil Rockefeller, he's 3 from 3 over fences, and it would be great to see fellow bookmaker Andy Smith involved in this for the good guys.
Absolutely. Hear, hear. Okay, thank you, folks. That's a wrap. Well done. Right then, if you do enjoy these shows, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe however you are listening. We've got a football podcast on Thursday and we're back on Friday to look at this fantastic weekend in greater depth. Please join us for those.
Introducing Paddy Power's Beat the Drop. We're giving every customer 30 days free entry and a grand up front. It's up to you to keep it. All you have to do is answer 10 questions correctly. Play now at beatthedrop.paddypower.com.